Are any of you New Year's resolution people?
You can never keep them.
You can never keep them. So some of you went like this, right? So what are some, let me just ask, it's a small group today, we can kind of participate together this morning. What are some typical New Year's resolutions that people make?
Lose weight.
Lose weight, okay?
Right. Exercise.
I think I've done some reading on it before. I think losing weight is probably like one of the highest New Year's resolutions. What'd you say, Joe?
Exercise.
Yeah, I'm going to exercise. Some people set goals for exercising and run farther than I drive my vehicle most of the time, like 650 miles or something crazy like that. Somebody in this room did that this year. Reading your Bible, it wasn't me, in case you're curious. I did not run 650 miles this year. So reading your Bible in a year is a big goal, yeah. What else? What are some other New Year's resolutions that people have? Reading, yeah. So maybe they have a list of books that they're going to read. I'm going to give you a list of books to read this morning. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody gets nervous when I start handing books out. But, you know, that's one of the big things. We all want to grow in some area in our lives. I can remember the first time I ever decided I would set a New Year's resolution. Do you remember the first time maybe you thought, that'd be a good idea. I'm going to have this New Year's resolution and I'm going to stick to it. You want to know how old I was? I was 13 years old. I don't even remember what the New Year's resolution was because I think I made it to like the next morning and that was the end of my New Year's resolution. You know, I think if you begin to look throughout our lives, there are always these goals and things that we set for our lives that we want to try to achieve. And, you know, unfortunately what tends to happen is there's so much in our lives that we become inundated and we lose our focus, right? Maybe if you've had some goal or some New Year's resolution, maybe that be physical fitness, reading a book, or reading through the Bible, or whatever it might be, that there's always some goal that most of us have, that we're trying to look towards or trying to achieve. But you know what happens as time goes on, our passion for those things can fade, and our desire to have that happen in our life just begins to take less of a importance in our hearts, right? So for many of us, we may have set some goal, we maybe have had some New Year's resolutions, but what are some things that maybe take away from our New Year's resolution? Maybe, I think we've all probably set one at one time, right? What are some things that get in the way of achieving your New Year's resolution?
Everyday living,
right? Just life in general. What else? Dessert? You know, that'll preach right there. I do think dessert will take away from our New Year's resolution. What else?
TV,
yeah, TV. You know, that can be one of those things that just can distract us more than we can imagine. You know, I'll tell you one of the things, and for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit keeps bringing this back to my heart, and I will tell you the reason. I've talked about it the last couple of weeks, so on Sunday mornings at 9:15, my phone sends me this little notification, and it's my weekly usage report. Does anybody else's phone do that for them? So on Sunday morning, it tells me how much time I have spent on my phone. Good news is, last week after I mentioned this, I told you it was up 4%. This week, it was down 3.5 hours a day. I was pretty excited about that. You know, for most of us, you know, a phone is one of those things that, you remember when you got your first cell phone, it was a big deal. But phones, TVs, all the information and all the things that we can have in our lives, it can take us away from really the things that matter most. So I want us to look this morning in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 15 and 16. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus really during a unique time in history. Really, the church in Ephesus was really, if you begin to look at most of its, how it's impacted our faith and understanding, Ephesus would have been in a situation much like our country and our culture, that there were so many things happening around them, really from the Roman government and all of the new ideas that were being pushed and encouraged. The church in Ephesus was really trying to understand what mattered most. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter and really gives us some of the deepest and most theological understandings of how we live out our faith in a daily understanding. You know, if you've read through the book of Ephesians, you'll see even there just in the titles of your Bible as you have it sitting on your lap that it deals with husbands and wives and children and parents and what it means to have diversity and unity in the body of Christ and how we live out our faith in the body. It deals with death and life and all of these different areas about how we just, all of us, experience what so often seems to be the mundane. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15, he says, "Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil." Now, I've already warned this person that they were going to be brought up in the sermon. I'll leave their name out, but it probably won't be hard to imagine whom I'm referencing. Have you ever known somebody who's always late? You ever known somebody that's always late? Raise your hand if you know it's you. Oh, I'm sorry. I have even gone so far to make the statement that I'm pretty sure this individual will be late for their own funeral. You ever known somebody that time really operates a little bit differently? I'm trying to be nice. But for all of us, we've all had those experiences. That different people relate to time in different ways. That for those of us that maybe struggle a little bit more with being late for things, my daughter thought it was funny to mention that one of us is usually late and one of us is too early. Now, I'm sure there's some happy median in between the two. But you know what's interesting? As I look back over this past year, and as I've evaluated for myself, dealing with these verses, you know, I've joked about it, and some of you may feel the same way. I feel like I lost a year somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I've lost a year. That for whatever reason, all of the things that took place and all of the busyness just kind of took over. I was distracted. I struggled. There was so much of who I was that really I had plans and expectations, but unfortunately time seemed to slip away. So let's take a look this morning really at these two different verses. And the challenge that the Apostle Paul gives to us is that we must use our time wisely because time is short. Now, some of you may be interested in these type of things. You know, over the years, I've read some different books. I've always been one of those people that if I bought a new calendar that year, I was going to make it further in my New Year's resolution. How many of you just like to buy calendars? I like to buy calendars. If you look at my desk, there's calendar after calendar, and I think if I get a new calendar, that's going to help me schedule and plan my time in a way that's useful or beneficial. Some of you may have read some books over the years that maybe help you to organize and plan your time. Some of you may recognize this book. Maybe you read this book. Can you see what it is on the spine? I don't know where the cover is. This is The Purpose-Driven Life. How many of you have ever read this book? So The Purpose-Driven Life is a great book, right? It gives us some instructions on how we can organize our lives and how we can know really what matters most. It centers us, most importantly, around God and His purposes. Now this one maybe you've heard me reference it a couple of times. Some of you may have read this book. One of you is going to laugh at me for bringing it here. How many of you have ever read this book? Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey. You know, it's an interesting book. Really, he kind of helps to organize really what it means to be effective, how you can organize your life in a way that you can be purposeful with all that you do. Now, over the years, I've read a number of different books. You can walk into my office and see book after book that probably has some application to how I should live or how I should organize or how I should structure my life. But you see, the words of the Apostle Paul are much more simple, aren't they? Paul doesn't give us this big dictation. He doesn't give us this large description of how we should live our lives or how we should use our time. No, he very simply says, pay careful attention then to how you walk. not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of time because the days are evil. Now, over the years, as I said, I've read a number of different books, and you may have heard me reference this. I'm not telling you you have to go read a book. But this book has really proven to be one of the most useful tools that I've ever had. Now, Stephen Covey's book is probably, anybody want to guess how long Stephen Covey's book is?
Long. 340 pages,
right? So he tells you how to live your life in 340 pages. This little book, I was given a copy of it. Somebody just handed it to me one day. It's called The Tyranny of the Urgent. Now, in this little book, it kind of describes for us how life can become jumbled. The very first section, it talks about jumbled priorities. How for much of our lives, we have all of the things in the wrong order. We put the things that matter least in the position that matters most. The Apostle Paul gives us a very distinct warning in verse 15. He says, look carefully then at how you walk. Pay careful attention to how you walk. Jesus has some words to remind us of as we remember, as we walk through life, we're going to encounter difficulties and challenges and hardship. Look with me in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. It tells us, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Romans chapter 16, verse 19, it says, for your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. Now, when we look at this description of what Paul is reminding us of, is that ultimately in this world, we will encounter hardship. He gives us a warning. He doesn't want us to be ignorant to the fact that we will encounter difficulty. Now, think about it in your own home. Maybe you all have our things, and you know your paths, and you know how you can walk, but what happens when somebody moves something in your home? My children are wonderful at this. They'll move something, and I'm shuffling through when all the lights are off, and what tends to happen?
Stub
I can't get
toe.
Hit the wall, fall down, everybody's awake. It's one of those big things. Now, think about it in our own lives. How often do these little things, maybe as we walk through life, we become so focused on all the things that we think we always are aware of or are present in our lives, and then one thing changes. We stumble, we fall, we become distracted, and then we find ourselves kind of in the midst of a situation, a place that we have no idea where we're going and why we're going. Paul gives us that warning. He says, pay careful attention to how you walk. Now, literally in the Greek, it says, the description of what Paul is describing for us, it's a phrase that was described in the marketplace. It was to buy up the entirety. So when we talk about walking wisely, making the most of our time, that really it is this description of seizing the opportunity. That if there's something present, you need to jump on it. You need to be prepared and ready for it. It also gives us a description of redeeming these things. Now, one of the things I think that the world does is it hijacks truth. The enemy is the master of chaos, and God is the creator of order. But as we look in our culture, it tells us to put more and more things into our lives. It gives us more opportunities for distraction. It gives us more opportunities for things that take our attention away from what matters most. Now, Paul's description is very simple. He gives us some phrases and some truth that really there is a brevity to life. In the very first verse, in verse 15, he says, not just to pay careful attention as to how you walk, but not as unwise, but as wise people. Now, this is going to be an answer unto itself, but where do we gain wisdom? Where do we gain wisdom? Say it. In the Bible, right? We gain wisdom from God's Word. But ultimately, we can find sources of knowledge all around us, right? Now, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom, correct? that you can have all the information that the world can provide. You can be intelligent beyond measure. But knowledge does not always translate into wisdom. How many of you have ever known those people that were so smart, they were dumb?
Educated idiot.
I wasn't going to say that, Joe, but since you did. I mean, that we know those people that have so much intelligence, but so little practicality. You see, I think sometimes in our own Christian walk, we can find ourselves in that situation. We can know the answers. We can have the knowledge of what God has instructed us to do. But wisdom is not just having the knowledge, it's applying it, isn't it? It's taking God's word and letting it dive deeply into our hearts, and that way it comes out in our actions as well as our words. You see, that type of wisdom takes diligence. It takes purpose. It takes focus. James tells us this in James chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." James understood that life is short and that our purposes should not be the purposes of the world, but should be the purpose that God has called and instructed us to follow. So let me give us some application this morning. It tells us in verse 16, making the most of time because the days are evil. The first thing I think Paul tells us is that we are to look carefully how we walk for the best use of our time. That's precisely what Paul was reminding the Ephesian church. He tells us that their time is incredibly valuable. Now, I'm sure I am not the only one who has sat at my desk, and then at the end of the day, I got up and I remembered and looked and said, I have no idea what I've done today. You ever done that? You ever felt that way? Maybe you go home and you sit down in your chair and you're saying, I did a lot of something, but it didn't amount to much. Paul gives us this truth as we evaluate for ourselves what it is that we are spending our time on. So let me ask you that question this morning. How are you using your time? If you were to take a minute and you were to break down what your daily activities were, how would you say you're using your time? How much time are you dedicating to watching TV? How much time are you dedicating to spending on your phone? How much time are you dedicating to being in God's Word? How much time are you spending being dedicated to God in prayer? You see, there's so much in our lives that I think we misappropriate. There's so much in our lives that we think should take precedence, but unfortunately, we have the right thing in the wrong place. You see, the questions that I ask myself this week is, am I more interested in the trivial or the eternal? Or do I spend time on stuff that really has no merit or value? Am I more interested in catching up on a TV program than I am in spending in God's Word? Am I investing in other people's lives, or am I more focused on what I think that I need? The question we have to ask ourselves is, am I using my time appropriately? Am I making the most of what God has given? The second thing I want us to look at from these two verses in Ephesians chapter 5 is this. That we are called to then pray for wisdom as we seek the best use of our time. Look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 verses 9 and 10. Jesus gives us these truths. He says, I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Now, Jesus outlines for us ultimately what it means to seek Him with all that we have, right? And when we seek God with all that we have, what is the response? What does Jesus promise us? Ultimately, He says that whenever we ask, it will be given. When we seek, we will find. When we knock, the door will be opened. Now, we understand when we ask these things according to God's will, that's when those things come about. God is not some eternal genie that we go to and we say the right words and we have this magical spell and he gives us all the things that we want. No. Jesus tells us that as we ask according to his will, our hearts, our minds, and our actions will be open to being obedient to what he has called us to do. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 5, gives us another point as we recognize this prayer for wisdom. He says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be what? Given to him. So what are you asking for in your prayer life? What are you asking for in your prayer life? Are you asking for the things that maybe will benefit you or grow you or make you better than others maybe? Or are you asking for the things that God calls us to? Are you asking for a level of wisdom that is beyond what the world can provide? How many of you have ever had that moment to where you were completely lost in a situation? Now, I'll give you a practical example. I am not a mechanic. I can maybe do some basic things on a vehicle or some type of machinery. But you know, really when it gets too much into it, I don't really have an idea of what's happening. Maybe you've had that moment where you opened, if you've ever looked at, I'll give you an example with the church car, right? If you open the hood of the church car, it's mostly plastic. You know, you open the hood, and I remember looking the very first time, like, I didn't even know where the dipstick was on this thing. I mean, here I am, a grown man, surely I would be able to change the oil or check the oil on this vehicle. But I remember opening the hood, and I literally had no clue. It took me a minute, and I did read the instruction manual. I know some of you are like, well, just look at the manual. I did, and I found it. You see, the reality for many of us is that rather than going to the manual, as corny and as simple as that may seem, rather than going to the instruction book, we kind of stumble around looking for wisdom. We kind of stumble around looking for the thing that we hope will give us our next direction. That will say, here, take a step this way. You see, the world provides lots of sources of knowledge. You can go on your cell phone right now at this very moment and you can type in anything that you've ever wanted to know in the entire world and you can have it in a heartbeat. But the wisdom that we pray for, the instruction that God has provided for us, James reminds us that it will be given to us generously. But we have to ask. The third thing I want us to look at as far as how we apply the truths of Ephesians chapter 5 verses 15 and 16 is this, that we are called to set our priorities for the best use of our time. Now we're going to go into the Old Testament, right? We're going to look at two different books that really may have some unique application to how we use our time. The first one you're probably going to be pretty familiar with, out of the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, for everything there is a season. Anybody want to finish the song? For everyone there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. You're welcome. That song can be stuck in you. If you don't know that there's a song, just go look it up. There is a time and season for everything. Now when we look at what God has done, how he has ordained and put together life, that there is a time and season. What do we know about seasons? As you walked into the church this morning and the wind chill's 32 below zero, what can you tell me about seasons?
Doesn't change often.
Well, maybe in Montana, right? But you remember just a couple of weeks ago, I remember complaining that it was 70 degrees and it's like, it's too hot for December. Now it's too cold for December. Seasons change, don't they? You see, for many of us, I think we miss what God is calling us to. We miss our priorities. We misappropriate our time because we fail to recognize that seasons change, that God has ordained and put together time in a way that as we seek him, he gives us our next step. Now, the next verses I want us to look at, as I mentioned, are going to be kind of some unique verses. We all look, and you guys did your Bible read in Haggai this morning, right? Anybody know where Haggai is? It's in your Bible, I promise. Haggai chapter 1, verse 9 I want us to look at this morning. Now, what's interesting about the book of Haggai, really, this was after the Babylonian captivity. The nation of Israel had been captive for generations, and the Jews had returned to take care of all of their property, and ultimately, the temple itself. God told his people in Haggai chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "My house, it lies in ruin, while each of you busies himself in his own home." Haggai chapter 1, God challenges his people. He says, "I have brought you out of captivity. I have rescued you from death. And you've still misunderstood your priorities." How much of the time do we find ourselves just so busy that we miss the things that matter most? Haggai, the prophet, in verse 12 of Haggai chapter 1, it says that he spoke to the people, and the Jews obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. You see, when we talk about time, when we talk about priorities, God has given us a set of instructions that we are called to hear and listen. And when we do, he redeems our time. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, it says, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." That's pretty simple, isn't it? So what is our priority? You see, if we put the first thing first, everything else falls in place. Fear God and keep his commands. That's the whole responsibility. That's the whole duty of mankind. Now, we know ultimately everything else falls down from that. Mothers, fathers, grandparents, ultimately those of us who work and are in positions of influence and importance, those of us who are just in education or school or we're working through different situations in our life, when we put the first thing first, everything else falls in place. But when we try to misappropriate, when we try to put the wrong things in the wrong place, we know what comes, don't we? In Luke chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, Jesus says this, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple." Jesus isn't giving priority to these other things. He's not saying that our families, our children, our jobs, our things are not important. But what he is saying is that ultimately following him is of the utmost importance. So let me ask you this morning. What are your priorities today? Is it your hobbies? Is it your family? Is it your career? You see, all of those things are good things. They're of value to our time and to our lives. But ultimately, what is it that we are putting first and foremost? The fourth application I want us to look at this morning is understand why we need to make the best use of our time. James tells us this in James 4, verse 17. "Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." So I wonder this morning, what excuses have we made for our time? What excuses have we come up with as we have misappropriated what God has given to us? Look at verses 15 and 16 again of Ephesians chapter 5. "Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil." Paul challenges us with this simple truth. Your life is short. Use your time wisely. As we approach this new year, I think ultimately the final thing I think we can take from these verses is that we're called to get busy with the best use of our time. It's a pretty simple truth. We've looked throughout Scripture. We understand that God has a plan and a purpose. When we follow him, we make the best use of what he has given to us. See, all that we have, all that we enjoy are because of him. All of the things that we have in this life are because of the blessings that God has provided. And when we put him first, all of those things fall in order. You see, I think as we walk through time, as we walk through life, we will find over time what matters most to us. And whenever we put God over those things, maybe there's something in your life this morning that you know has been distracting. Maybe there's something in your life that you know has just been in the way of you spending time in God's Word, been in the way of you spending time in prayer, been in the way of you investing in your family and investing in relationships. Whatever it may be this morning, my prayer is that as we approach this new year, I'm not challenging you, I'm not telling you you need to make a New Year's resolution to be a better person. I mean, we all should probably try. But ultimately, to put God first. Whether it be January 1st or December 26th, that our priority should be putting God first. Making the most of our time, because ultimately we know that as we are surrounded by the world, the days are evil. We can see that in our time. We can see that in our culture. But we as believers are to make the most of what God has given to us. And I believe one of the ways that we can do that is sharing His love with those around us. Making the most of your time means investing in God's Word. It means spending time in prayer. And it means, in turn, sharing that love and truth with those we come in contact. My prayer this morning is if there's something we need to turn over, if there's something we need to release to God, that as we spend a moment in prayer that we do that. That as we sit there quietly, maybe there's something the Holy Spirit lays on your heart and you say, God, I want to give that to you. My prayer is that we'll do that today. And as we take a step, as we walk out those doors, that we'll set our priorities straight, making the most of our time, and putting God first and foremost in our lives. Let's take just a moment. I want to pray in silence, and then after a minute, I will lead us in prayer, and the worship team will come up. Pray, asking the Holy Spirit to give you a picture of what your priorities are, and how you can then turn and make the most of what God has given to you. Heavenly Father, we come before you. God, I acknowledge in my own life that there are so many things that I have allowed to take precedence over what matters most. God, there are things that I have given priority, I have given effort and time and energy, that ultimately produce nothing for your kingdom and nothing for your sake. God, I know there have been times that I have set aside the priorities of family, of relationships, for things that are just merely distractions in this world. God, I pray that you will give us each the ability to make the most of our time. God, we understand that we are surrounded by evil and difficulty, but God, help us to cling to your truth. Help us to walk wisely, to not just have the knowledge of what you have instructed us to do, but to live it out. God, help us to take those truths as we approach this new year. God, give us the ability, give us the time, the energy, the focus to be in your Word. God, give us a desire to know and to spend time with you in prayer. God, increase our hearts for those around us. Give us your eyes as we approach the community in which you've called us to serve. God, remind us that you came to die on the cross, not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. God, I pray as we approach this new year. God, I don't pray for just blessing and good times. But God, I pray for your provision in the midst of all the things that we will encounter in this world. God, help us to stand on your truth, to cling to your promises, to be obedient to you in the good times and in the bad. God, we know when we seek, we will find. When we knock, you will answer. God, I pray that we would seek you in all that we say and do. As a church, as your people, as individuals, God, I pray that you would give us that desire above everything else, and that we would see your blessing flow as we seek you with all of our hearts. For we love you, we thank you, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.